I'm Franny Benali, and you're listening to In That Number.
And then they lift one over the top for Danny Ings. He's in the box. Oh, on to his left foot. It's brilliant. Oh, it's a fantastic goal from Danny Ings. He's done it again.
Here comes Ward-Prowse. Oh!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milverton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush, and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcast on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe, and give us good vibes. Let's go.
Welcome to another episode of In That Number, episode 84. This week, we will be previewing the season with a very special guest, Matt Markstone from Southampton Delivery Podcast. We're going to chat pre-season signings, kits, sponsors, most probably, predictions and heaps more. We also have the thoughts of Matt Swallow to help us preview our first opponent's Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park next weekend. But before our guest, my co-host, the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton. All right, Kev, you bender.
All right, Ray, you juicy quim.
Thanks for that. How are you?
Yeah, grand. It doesn't seem like a week since we've been talking to each other. It's kind of flown by.
Really?
The academic year has started, so yeah.
Busy.
Going to be busy again, yeah, and I don't know when I'll be able to take a break from it, but hopefully soon. But the weather's been nice, at least. I've kind of accepted that it's autumn already, that summer's over. And sort of, you know, 20 degrees in the day, a little chilly at night, but just generally fine.
It's getting a bit chilly now over here, but it's good today. It's good. It's been all right. It's been busy again. But I had a dream the other night that I wanted to share, right?
Oh, God, it's not dirty, is it?
No, not this time. Right, Saints, yeah. It was a dream about Saints. We beat Brentford in the FA Cup third round.
Ooh.
It was nice. It was a nice dream. But you know what? That's where my mind's at. It's like most people dream of their team winning the World Cup or the league or something, but not me. I had a vivid dream about Saints reaching the fourth round of the FA Cup. You know?
Yeah, that's a wet dream and a half, isn't it?
But that was it. I thought I'd share that. So if we do, in fact, draw Brentford in the Cup, there you go, premonition.
Stake your entire savings on it.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, before we get going with our guests, I just want to say to you, Kevin, that last week completely slipped my mind. Our predictions from last season was won by you. By virtue of Paris Saint-Germain going further than Man City in the Champions League. That was it. But yeah, well done. I guess I'll have to get you next time.
I'll get you next time, Gadget. Yeah. we'll have to make the rules a lot clearer this season. For what points go for what and how we decide in the event of a tiebreaker, that sort of thing. But yeah, it was very interesting.
Yes, it was close. It was close in the end.
Mm.
Let's bring in our guest, host of Southampton Delivery Podcast, Matt Markstone. Matt, welcome back to In That Number.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, guys, even after my poor Champions League prediction, which you were kind of to remind me of in the chat there.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
No, that's what it's for.
I'm going to say, I don't think Bayern Munich are going to win the Champions League because they don't score enough. I think their semi-final was pretty...
I do just want to say, like, at the point that I said that, they did start off pretty poorly, and then they went through a couple of changes. And when I said that, they had just lost to Arsenal in a preseason friendly where they had mostly their first team out. So I would say I'm just trying to cover myself a little bit, but there's no real coming back from that, I don't think.
That was understandable.
Who did you predict to win the Champions League?
I think Manchester City.
Yeah, we both did, Matt. We both went Man City, But yeah.
It seemed like a safe option. Like, it didn't seem like a crazy thing to say at the time.
No, certainly not.
Still doesn't.
I was having a chat with Kev before we come on, actually, and is this your hat-trick appearance? Or is this your fourth? I can't remember.
That's a good question. I know for sure it's been three. This might be four. I'm not sure.
We didn't send a match ball to you last time, so maybe we should get it out to him now, Kev.
Okay, yeah.
In that all number right. Ball winging its way to Southern California right now.
All right. Well,
I'll send one as well. Yes. Our balls are on their way.
All right. If you want to just send a picture instead, it might get here faster, given everything's going on with the post office.
Anyway, let me start off by saying thank you for joining us today. Because like when I asked you, I was really, really selfish and I completely forgot about the time difference. And I thought, yeah, 1 o'clock would be fine. It should be cool. Didn't realize that you're 8 hours behind.
Yeah. No, don't worry about it. It's totally good. It's getting me ready for the season because next weekend I'm going to have to be up significantly earlier than normal just to be ready for the game. But yeah, don't worry about it. It's my pleasure to come on here and chat with you guys, and I appreciate the invite.
We love having you on. One of our favorites.
Yeah, you sound incredibly fresh for 5 a.m. I'd be like the walking dead.
I went to bed early last night on purpose. I went to bed about 8:30. So, you know, I got to do my homework before. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Yeah, we've chatted via social media text, but we haven't actually spoke probably since the pandemic and the wildfires as well. So how is everything in your part of the world now?
Well, where I live specifically, we're okay. We're not on fire. We do have a high number of coronavirus COVID-19 cases in the area where I live, especially in the area where I teach, where all the kids come from my school. We're one of the hot spots in our county, so we're kind of stuck in terms of reopening. We're kind of frozen right now, but you know, fire wise I have some family up north that are dealing with it. We did have like a week and a half worth of just kind of smoke so bad that you weren't supposed to go outside and do anything, but that's cleared up because the winds are back kind of pushing it inland, which is still not great, but you know, we're okay. The rest of the state, I think the second and third largest fires in California history, both of them are burning right now, which is just insane.
It's crazy. Yeah, with me and Kevin actually have a buddy that lives near you. I think it's near you anyway. My California geography is not great. Santa Cruz.
Okay. Yeah. He lives up north a little bit, but that's a nice place.
Yeah. 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 And he's posted pictures up on his Instagram and stuff. So I've seen what's going on and watching the news and stuff. It just looks horrific. It doesn't look real to me. Yeah.
Right. Wow. Well, and he's kind of there is a fire, a couple of fires near him, and he's kind of stuck because he's got, you know, just a couple of ways out of the beautiful place where he lives. So hopefully he's doing all right.
He seems to be fine. Yeah.
2020's really got it in for us, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's almost over, right? Can it just be done?
Yeah.
Well, we don't know what's coming next, though. What sort of provisions have you got for in the school then? Like going back, is it sort of back to normal, or are there quite a few changes?
No. So normally the kids come every day. We have a 7-period day. And so I would teach 5 classes and have about 180 kids a day in contact with them. And we've gone back completely virtually. And the students are only coming to class 2 days a week. So I only teach each class period once a week. So huge change from like 180 or 185 or 180 contact days with the kids each year to just it'll wind up being something like 32 contact days with each kid. So it's a huge, huge cut in what we're doing. So I'm completely on Zoom. If you're on campus, you have to wear a mask all day. Mm-hmm. Most people aren't coming to campus. Most people are teaching from home. I am going in because I have 2 kids who are Zooming and a wife who's home during the day. And so it's just like, if I get out of here, I can concentrate and leave it at work. Otherwise, it just turns into all day work and home. It doesn't work out for me.
Yeah, very, very wise choice.
I understand that. Yeah.
But I have been able to ride my bike in, which is nice because I can just change my shirt when I get there and nobody has to see that I'm wearing shorts. So it's been.
And they're
all
in masks. They won't be able to smell you anyway. So.
That's right. and we're on Zoom. It doesn't matter. So it's fine.
Anyway, before we get into Saints and their preparations, I just want to discuss the new laws regarding VAR, if you are interested. Referees will be encouraged to use their pitch side monitors instead of relying on voices from Stockley Park. Now, Kev, I like this idea more, but I'm guessing you're going to hate it because of the time it's going to take.
It takes time anyway, doesn't it, when they're sat in Stockley Park? But I mean, if they've got a little short video they can show him, they can make the decision on the spot. That's fair enough, I think. It'd be great if the fans were involved in it so that they could see what the referee does as well.
I don't like that.
No?
No. I've said it so many times before, but it's like the NFL. You go under a hood and you view it. It's just up to the referee. The fans don't get a say in that. And I think if it's the right decision, I don't care how long it takes. NFL games take long anyway. So as long as it's the right decision, I'm okay.
You know my attitude towards the NFL in general anyway. But you've been to a match when there have been VAR decisions. And it's just...
Sure.
It just slows the game down. There's no excitement to
it. Okay, well, maybe they should look into getting some cheerleaders to, you know... while they're looking at VAR checks, just get the girls out and
a bit of pornography or something. Just keep them busy.
I mean, US TV coverage generally will broadcast some rather large pale man with no shirt during any commercial break. So we'll just do more of that. It'll be fine.
And in regards to offsides, previously we weren't allowed to see the lines drawn on the screen. We were allowed to see the lines on the screen, but now they're going to stop that in hope for less, you know, controversy, I suppose. But it's just a can of worms because, I mean, after the broadcast, we're going to see that anyway. Is it just like delaying that anger? Because if there's an offside decision that goes against you and then you're going to see it after the game, it's going to make it worse, surely, as opposed to seeing it there. And then I don't know. I mean, I think the only way that the studios are going to show those lines if it backs up their decisions. And if it proves that the officials were wrong, they're not going to be so eager to show it.
I don't think there's going to be any controversy removed at all. I mean, I could just go up to my television with a tape measure and do it myself, couldn't I?
Yeah, I mean, they're just trying to take away as much controversy as they possibly can, I guess.
Nah, it's not going to happen.
Trying to make VAR appear more successful than it is.
I think it's weird because... You know, they were going for transparency before, and now that it didn't work. But now that they seem to be removing that, so whether or not it actually is doing that, that's what it looks like, and that's not great. I'm not sure. I mean, my only experience with being in a stadium is I couldn't get my phone to send a text message, let alone like download a video from the internet.
Yes,
so
that's true.
I don't know how many fans are sitting there looking at the lines on their phone and then looking up and saying. Yelling at the referee saying you got it wrong. Like, I don't know if that's the thing. I don't know. But, I mean, on TV last year, you could see him actually being drawn. I think they said they're only going to show it if it does back up the referee's decision. But, I don't know how much good that's going to do. I would say I am kind of a fan of the referee going to the monitor only for the reason that he has seen it live or she has seen it live. And so then they can use the video that they're going to look at to kind of meld that with what they've already seen versus the guy in the booth way, you know, on the other part in some other part of England is looking only at the video. And so that could be maybe a little bit different. That's the only positive I can see. Some of our referees can take them a while to get there. Next time we have the new fitness test, like from a corner flag to the box or to the hood and back, that they're going to have to practice that. That would get me a fine, according to several books that I've read about if I was a player or a manager and said that about a referee. But
it would.
I won't name anybody.
And I think we're going to see more penalty retakes this season because of this VAR. Now we'll now monitor whether or not a keeper has moved up his line.
Or encroachment, I suppose, as well.
Encroachment, yeah. I mean, I had to look at this again because I wasn't sure. I mean, I thought that was the rule anyway. I mean, I thought if the keeper moves off his line or if there is any encroachment, then the referee's going to say, well, there's a retake. And I thought, well, if VAR are going to look at this, and I thought, is it going to be a situation where, I don't know, James Ward-Prowse puts it in the bottom corner, keeper comes off his line, referee says retake it, and he takes it and misses it. But apparently VAR are only going to look at it or make him retake it if the penalty was missed. Not much of a difference there, then.
Yeah, I think the keeper has to play some part in that. I think if they completely miss the target, without the keeper doing anything, even if they're off their line, they won't make them redo it. It'll be. I'm glad Vieira wasn't around yesterday for the. Would have gotten England a goal because Kane was onside, but it also may have gotten James Ward-Prowse in some trouble given the
penalty scuff.
The fantastic penalty scuff, which I just I saw it in real time. That's the only, I turned the game on for the last 5 minutes. I saw the best part. And he was just doing it. I'm like, he's doing it again. Like, he's just over there. Like, he has no business being in that position. And he's just going for it. So I'm fully behind the James Ward-Prowse stuff. I appreciate that.
I mean, how many players, Kev, are we going to see that take a penalty and sky it and be like, oh, ref, he's moved off his line. You need to look at that.
Oh, no. God.
I think if, you know, I know in MLS and stuff, if they're not allowed to make the TV box gesture at the referee at all. And I think that's the same in the Premier League. So
yeah,
they definitely
that.
Will be able to do it this year.
The TV box, the imaginary card. Yeah, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Gonna have to look at VAR to see if he's making the VAR sign.
Yeah, have to learn sign language to make sure he's not doing it in sign language.
Well, I mean, in England, right, the two fingers up, the V, that's a bad sign, right? So if you see people doing that, I mean, that'll be what I'm just doing VAR, man. Just check VAR.
Right, okay, now let's get on to why we're here, Saints. Actually, Kev, last time we recorded, news broke while we were recording that Mario Lemina and Harrison Reed both joined Fulham. That's fucking typical, isn't it? Because, I mean, we were catching up with news from the previous 4 weeks that we'd missed out on. And the day that we do it all, it took ages to collate all this news that we had together. And the biggest part of news happened while we were recording. Yep. So, yeah, brilliant. So we missed out on that. Another little bit I want to talk about is a Carabao Cup second round draw will be made today. Actually, the third round will also be made with it. It's split into the north and south sections, but will remain unseeded. Changes to the cup competition this season. We'll see a single-legged semi-final as well. We are ball number 21 in the south, if you are looking out for that. And incidentally, the blue lot up the road are number 19, so who knows. Second-round ties will be played on the 15th and 16th of September. That's the Tuesday or Wednesday after the Crystal Palace game, so that'll be our second game of the season.
That's very soon.
Yeah. But yeah, that'll be after the Brentford game. Brentford-Wickham, I think it is today. So after that, they're going to be showing the cup draw live. Kevin, shall we go to the...
Brentford.
Yeah, there we go, yeah. Shall we go to the transfer roundabout?
Let's hop on.
Okay, then, the transfer roundabout. So, arrivals then. Kyle Walker-Peters for 12 million quid from Spurs and Mohamed Salisi from Real Valladolid for 10.9 million. Departures, we got Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, of course, for Spurs for 15 million. Harrison Reed, as we said, Mario Lemina on loan with an option to buy if they can avoid relegation. Alfie Jones left on Friday night to Hull City. And, of course, Ali Nisi already switched to Celtic until the end of the season. Tyreek Johnson also at Hartford Athletic. Matt, are you happy with the business, firstly, for Walker-Peters and Salisu?
Yeah. I'm totally happy with the people coming in. I would think that potentially another central midfielder would be in order, just given the fact that we're going to head into this basically hoping that the three of Smallbone, Ward-Prowse and Romelu don't get injured and or booked and or whatever, and that's a bit of a worry. But
yeah, Romelu's going to have more minutes this year, so he's going to pick up more yellow cards, you feel.
Yeah, although I did see something, he doesn't have a red card for
us, never been sent off,
you know. That I mean, that is truly professional. You know,
get stuck in the first 10 minutes, that's it, and then turn it back.
And it gives the commentator something to talk about other than that 9-0 defeat. So, you know, the fact that he gets a yellow card and then he's going to be having trouble the rest of the game. He'll have to watch himself, and that's what he'll do. But, I've been really happy. I think Kyle Walker-Peters was a really good signing for us. I can still see us improving somehow with a couple of players, but they're going to have to be decent players. I don't think we need more squad depth necessarily at most places.
Hmm. Listening back to what Ralph said at the end of last season, he said he was looking to add two or three more additions to the squad, but it really depends on who leaves. We haven't lost a defender, but we've brought in essentially one, if you don't include Kyle Walker-Peters, and we've lost three midfielders and not replaced any of them. So I'm hearing reports that they're not actively looking, but if an opportunity falls at them, then they're going to take it. That's not how transfers work. Go out and get someone.
Yes. Yeah, I think we still, I think I would, I said before that I'd judge this transfer window on more on who we get rid of than who we bring in. And we, I mean, we still got a few big names that need to go. I mean, big as in they're a big problem, like Guido Carrillo and Wesley Hoot, for example.
Oh, Wesley Hoot could be nearing another loan move to Anderlecht today.
Because, see, loan moves really piss me off because it's just kicking the can down the road, isn't it?
It is, but nobody wants him. You can't
make
you can't
contract and release him.
But then you have to take a loss, don't you? It's a big. It's going to be a big loss on Hoot.
Yeah.
I think you just have to determine. You know, it's kind of up to the player. I think with Jordy Clasie, he still had some time on his contract, but he really wanted to go somewhere, and so I think he would have agreed some sort of like minimal payout, like you don't have to pay out the rest of his entire contract. And Wesley Hoot just seems like the kind of guy who's going to say, actually, you can pay me my entire salary that you promised when I signed this contract. And then like, you know, wave to Les Reed, who is on the other line listening, going like, good job, you know. And then otherwise we, and I think once the loss we'll take will be kind of like less than the transfer fee we'll get for him, I guess, then I guess we'll just let it go and pay him off and let it, but you're right. We are just further kind of going into this and just kicking it down the road, but nobody who can afford him wants him, and anybody who wants him just simply can't afford him probably. And that's just the mistakes we've made. And it looks like Carrillo could be headed back to Argentina. Hopefully I read
that's right. Yeah.
In the Athletic. So
join our Pellegrino
magic.
Yes.
Yeah. Jesus.
But like you said before, the strength, we need that strength in the middle of the park. And you don't just need squad players. We need the quality in that middle. I believe we do. Weston McKennie, how disappointed were you that never came about?
I mean, I'm not sure I ever really believed it. I think I took Twitter off my phone, especially during the transfer window, but just as I got a new phone and didn't put it on there on purpose. And I'm really glad, because otherwise I would just get sucked into all of that. And it almost seemed too perfect in terms of he's the right age, the right profile, the type of player that might do well under Ralph. So it all seemed to fit. But he was also going to be really, really expensive, and he was pretty hyped up, you know? But I think McKennie made a mistake maybe by going straight to Juve.
Really?
Not that he can't learn under Pirlo, but I think he would have developed more to Ralph. Like Ralph has a history of doing that, and Pirlo, we haven't seen that from him. And he's going to struggle maybe to get in there for consistent minutes. And he's going to play in a team that, at least in the league, will, you know, probably win a championship. And that's, you know, you want to be a part of that. And I'm not sure I could turn down if somebody said, hey, you want to go to Juve? And it's probably like, yes, you know, I do. But I think in terms of long-term, I think he could have gotten maybe a bigger move and maybe guaranteed himself a place in the starting lineup had he come to Southampton for 2 or 3 years, developed, and then gone on. But that could be just me being a little bit bitter, and I'll be okay with if somebody accuses me of that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a massive step, you know, this early. It's kind of like he's missed a step in his career. You know, your progression, you go from, I don't know where he was in the MLS, and then you go to Schalke. I'm not saying the Saints are better than Schalke, but I'm saying a move to the Premier League is more, you know, desirable than the Bundesliga, and then perhaps go to a big European club. But like you say, yeah, it's a big, big step for him to do it. But yeah, I mean, I couldn't turn that move down. Go and play with Pirlo in Juventus, challenge for titles, Champions League, playing with Cristiano Ronaldo. It's a dream.
And the weather, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
The weather's probably kind of nice.
Yeah, that's true. Gun to your head, Matt. Are Saints bringing in any more players before this window shuts?
No.
Hmm.
Ooh.
I mean, and I'm not necessarily happy about it. And the transfer window does happen, but like, if I just had to say yes or no, I'd say probably not.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I just can't see it. Just the way that they've been, just not working at it. We're not hearing. It is just all rumors, and it's nothing. There's no serious bids coming in, and you know their response to some of it is just made me feel a little bit underwhelmed by the whole thing.
I'm not so sure. I think they could surprise us. I mean, maybe with a loan move for a midfielder from another Premier League club or something like that. I don't know. I think the club must understand that we are a man short in that position. going on what Ralph said.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Matt, I think most seasons, me and Kev have said the same thing about our defence, always needs strengthening. But right now, now with news that Vestergaard could, you know, potentially, possibly is going to be staying, you have those four centre-backs now. You've got the solid Stevens, Bednarek, you've got the backups of Salisu and Vestergaard. You've got Kai Walker-Peters now settled, and you've got Jan Valeri as a backup. You've got Ryan Burchan on the left with Vokins as a backup. Fine, that's okay. You've got Fraser Forster coming back into the mix as well in goal. I'm okay with the defence for a change. It's just that midfield. It's not enough for me, and I think they are going to struggle in the Premier League.
Yeah, I just worry about the number of minutes. We've seen Ward-Prowse play all of the minutes, you know, and then if he's going to be in the England squad as well, that's adding to it. And I just think that's a lot of that could be the spot where the team starts to crack a little bit and late in games and things like that. And I guess you could move guys like Armstrong back there if you needed to, but I don't think that's where he would is best to play. And I do worry about that. I worry about that midfield. I think, as long as Adams kicks on a little bit, I think the front will be fine too. We can't rely on Danny Ings to score that many goals again. I would never expect him to score that consistently just because that was a ton of goals, but he's totally capable of it. But that's just a lot to say. We're definitely going to get that from him, I think, is a mistake to think that. But
absolutely.
Yeah, I have to say the midfield is probably that spot where if we're going to improve the team, if we're going to solidify the team, it's got to be there. And I would want it, like I said earlier, I would want it to be somebody who's going to start ahead of Romeu. Not that I don't like Romeu, but I think the player would have to be of that quality if we're going to spend the money on them to bring them in. I just don't think it's worth doing other than that.
Yep, nail on the head.
I think, well, if not, we're probably going to see a lot more minutes from the likes of Smallbone and Slattery.
Yeah, but they're not quite ready for it yet, I don't feel.
Well, I mean, You know, cup games and maybe games against a weaker Premier League opposition. See how they do.
I don't think that exists for Saints, does it?
Well, there aren't any other options, are there?
No.
I was going to say, we might see this really early on because we have that Carabao Cup game coming up almost immediately. And so, yeah, right from the go, we're going to be playing three games a week. And that may, and since we're still in the middle of the transfer window, Ralph may be able to like look at the board and say, hey, look, you know, like we need reinforcements now, and that may kick things on. So, I'll say that there is hope in terms of that, but and we'll definitely understand what Ralph is thinking when we see that lineup for the midweek game, you know, right away.
Yes. So I think yes. That's
I'll stand to kind of change my tune if we see that from him.
Okay, so the kits then. I want to talk about the kits. Firstly, what do you make of the new kit?
I don't know if I can wear a sash, but I do like them. They think they look very, very nice, better than the black box of across the top from last year.
Yeah.
I think they look very nice, and I thought that on the old logo, you know, the old sponsor, I thought they did a much better job this season of making it look, you know, acceptable. And then, of course, now it's gone. So,
which brings me on to my next question. What do you make of this whole sponsorship debacle?
I think I can say for sure that you feel quite strongly about this one.
I'm not happy about it. I wrote probably the angriest newsletter I've ever written, and it was not the planned. It was not supposed to be that. And I was actually sitting in a staff meeting on Zoom and just kind of like was thinking about something and just went, ah, screw it. And here we go. And so I'm not happy. I think the club have made a mistake, and I'm not going to let them kind of get off with this because they made a mistake in signing with LD Sports. They went after that tiny little bit of extra money and now have, you know, and LD Sports have obviously gotten out of the deal and there was no break clause. So maybe Saints are going to recoup that, but the money to me isn't the important thing. Oftentimes these sponsorships, they are important. They are the second or third largest revenue stream for the, for clubs behind TV broadcast deals. And then, depending on your match day revenue, which I think broadcasting just edged that for Saints in recent seasons, but the that little bit of extra money, the extra million and a half pounds a season, is not worth taking that sort of risk. And now to have to go with a sports betting company
is generic. Just,
I don't like it. And my wife doesn't really agree with me on this. She's kind of like, why do you care? And it's just like, I think for me, like, yes, clubs, sponsors, they want fans to spend money and they want them to use their products and things like that. But really, like, you know, if we're using Virgin Media, I mean, they provide a number of services that people can actually benefit from, that, like, you know, kids can benefit from, internet, like, if we're all going to school, things like that. I think that, like, those are the types of things you can do. And the sports betting, like, what are people really getting out of it other than trying to fulfill some, I mean, there is a rush there and things like that, but I just don't want to see that advertised with us. And I was really happy with us being one of the clubs that didn't use those things. And now we're just one of a plethora of teams who have that on the front of their shirts. And the fact that the UK doesn't allow them to be printed on kids' shirts just says it all. Like, you know, it's not good enough for me, for the club to be doing that. And yet here we are doing this, and granted it's a 1-year deal and I understand that money's important and all that stuff. But I think the reason that we're in this position, the club have made a mistake. They got a little bit greedy and they tried to get a little bit too much, and they fell into that kind of popular thing of going with the hype from China, trying to get into this. And this is where we're at. And I think the club, I expect the club to do better in thinking long-term. And we see this with our transfers that, you know, we're in this situation where you have to, like, kick the can down the road. And that's what we've done with this too, just kicked it further down the road. And hopefully we set up with another sponsor that isn't a sports betting company, and you know, that we can be happy with again. But I can say I won't be buying a shirt this year. And it's unfortunate because the shirts, like I said, are very nice. But I won't be purchasing one with that logo on there, or that sponsor on there, and that's just how it's going to be, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like a panic thing, wasn't it? And like you said, they've only got it for the year. I'm not as high on it as you are. I don't have as strong opinion as you are. But again, I didn't want it to be same old generic Premier League kit because of that. I will say though that I don't often talk about Portsmouth in a good light, but Portsmouth had the University of Portsmouth on their shirts. Mm-hmm. I've always liked things like that do things locally, support your local companies and put those on the front of your shirt. Why can't Southampton? I know it's the money, but if it's only the 1-year deal, do something like that. Put Southampton, the Saints Foundation on it or something.
Yeah. So one of the things that I said, and I understand that it's a thing, but even if you know that there's no break clause and there's a good chance you stand to recoup some of this money for the season, you know, maybe you just get this season's money worth of it, worth of the deal. Then, I mean, given everything that the UK and the world has gone through, why not slap the NHS on the front of it and win over your fans and like kind of neutral fans around the country if you do something like that. And I mean, I think at that point you miss a little bit of it, because I think even people who would have already purchased a shirt with the old logo on it would have been more than happy to purchase another one with the NHS, knowing that we're not charging them for this. And this is just a way to do that. And I think a lot of people would have been happy with that. It would have made me, you know, another moment where, I mean, I've written in the past where the club has made me proud in so many ways for the work that they did during the pandemic and everything else and things they do on and off the pitch. And then they did this, and it just kind of pissed me off. So I think they missed it. And I understand money is important, and it's not like I'm living in a rainbows and unicorns kind of world. But, you know, I think that's a possibility they could have done, and they didn't.
Yeah. And Kev, you said last week that you would much rather have gone the whole season without a sponsor than
this on. Yeah, I mean, I love the no logo shirt from the 2010 season that we had. But I don't see why we can't do it again. Or, you know, failing that, go back to Virgin Media. I mean, they did so much in the community, and I understand they still are. Anyway, they've been, you know, had quite good links with the club. Or any of the options that Matt mentioned there would have been much better for the want of a few million quid, you know.
That's a new midfielder, Kev.
Is it? That's like, no. You know, that's a left arm of a new midfielder, isn't it?
Yes, unfortunately it is. Anyway, moving on from the shabby kit. Pre-season then, Matt, Did you catch any of the Swansea highlights? Or I understand we played Fulham yesterday and lost 2-1. But the Swansea game, 7-1 win. Did you catch any of that?
I saw the goals, yes. I was pretty impressed. I liked all of it. I think the first goal with Kyle Walker-Peters showing some strength in getting to that ball, I liked that from him. And then I think my favorite goal was Bertrand, just yes. because it hits the underside of the crossbar. Mm. But I thought overall from the highlights, obviously we didn't see all of it. Saints looked pretty good, so I was pretty happy with that. I'm not sure we looked as good against Fulham yesterday, but we lost. I wonder if Harrison Reed and Mario Lemina ran us into the ground or not. but I don't know. That's my one like fear is that the Saints will go let Lemina play, and then which I don't think they have that choice in the league. But and then he just has one of the games of his life, and that would be fitting, I guess.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah. I also didn't realize that Harrison Reed and Mario Lemina are only a year apart in age. Which I did not realize.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Reed's 25, Lumina's 26, but I just find that to be absolutely outrageous, yeah.
Yeah, that is crazy. As I say, yeah. lots of international duty, well, lots of players were on the international duty yesterday, so I'll try not to get carried away with this one. You know, right. it was just for the minutes and fitness, etc. But after that Swansea game, that was it. I was like, yep, Saints are definitely going to win the league now.
No. Yeah, plus, wait for it. Both Ings and James Ward-Prowse took a penalty and scored.
I know. It's fucking great, right? when Danny Ings come on, Kev, because I sent it to you. When Danny Ings came on, I actually put some money on Danny Ings to score the first goal yesterday. And then we had the penalty. And I thought, he's going to take it. He's going to let Ings take it.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. because I was shouting.
Manchester City players can't score them. That's why.
Yeah, but hey, doesn't matter. Okay, so we're going to do some predictions.
I have a question. Did you use sportsbet.io?
I did not, no. Well, I used my Skybet account, which, by the way, I only put a small amount in a season, and once I've gone over it, that's it. I will not put any more in. I've never had a problem with gambling, so I'm always...
When the fun stops, you stop. Huh?
Well, the fun never starts for me, so that's why I never put any more in. anyway, yeah, predictions. I've got a little predictions game for you two. Well, I think I'll join in as well. It's just a little over-under, just for fun. Don't worry, Kev, this won't count for our contest. So I'm going to shout out a topic, give you a number. You're going to tell me if it's over or under. Last season, we scored 51 goals. Over or under?
Over.
Ooh.
Yeah, I want to say over as well.
Oh, okay, I'm going under.
Okay.
I'm going to say under. 51. Yeah, I'm going to go. Goals conceded, 60.
I don't want to say over, so I have to say under.
I'm going under because of that 9-0. It's
yeah.
Be.
Yeah.
Under again. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so all under. Brilliant. 9 clean sheets. I'm
going
to go.
Say exactly the same.
You're going to go under?
No, I'm going to go 9 clean sheets again.
No, you can't say the same, by the way. You've got to go over or under.
It's
called over or under. It's not called over, under, or the same.
What if it is the same?
Well, it doesn't matter.
All right, over it is.
Over 9 clean sheets.
Yeah,
I have to say under. Like that, it's hard to imagine us. I mean, that's a lot. I guess I didn't think about that. That's a lot of clean sheets. I think
it was. Yeah,
right?
I think we got quite a few of them at the end after the restart, didn't we? I know we started off with the Norwich one, didn't we? The clean sheet.
Yeah, I'm gonna say under.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I'm going under.
Well, I'm gonna stay with over.
Okay, Kev, you go first on this one. 15 wins.
Over.
I'm going under.
Well, I mean, I'm doing math in my head. I think I'm cheating here. Because that's 45 points, right? And mm-hmm. we're going to get... I mean, I can't see us getting 10 draws, right? Like, that seems like a lot.
I can.
But there's 38 games. I'll go over.
I can see a lot of draws this season.
I don't want to see those. That's not why I get up this early in the morning.
Sorry, that's what I'm here for. I bring everybody down. Yeah, definitely under 15 wins. I don't think we're going to do that.
That's sensible.
I would say, like, don't worry. Like, after this week, nobody will care. But then you'll bring it up again in the chat.
No,
so, yeah.
No, I won't, because I'm not right. I'm not writing this down. It's fine.
Okay, all right.
Unless I listen back to it, of course. But yeah,
we'll check in next year.
Yeah.
Forgotten by then.
Okay, Matt. Romelu picking up 5 yellow cards.
Over.
Yeah, I'm going to say over just because of the game time.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless we get another solid midfield signing, it's got to be over, isn't it?
It's got to be over, right? But, I mean, just Ward-Prowse got more yellow cards than him last season.
Yeah, Romero didn't even get suspended.
No. But then again, yeah, as I say, he wasn't playing a lot. He's going to need to play a lot more. Okay, team red cards. We had four last season. I'm going to go over.
Ooh,
okay. This is going to be a really, really depressing season if all my results are coming out.
Yeah, under.
Oh, I think Romeo's going to get one this year.
Yeah, but I don't think Bertrand will do it again.
Well, Danso got the other one, didn't he?
Like, we just had some real...
Gineppo.
I think...
Gineppo.
Yeah, no, I'll go under. Even though I think there's definitely the chance that it'll happen again, but I'm gonna say under.
Okay, Danny Ings scored 22 goals, so I don't think he's gonna get anywhere near that because that would be easy to say under. So I'm gonna give you the total of 15, just in the Premier League, I might add.
Under. I'd like to be proven wrong.
I'm gonna say over, but I'm not sure how. I wouldn't put any money on it. Not even. No. But if you put a gun to my head, I'd say over.
Ooh. I'm going to go under. Of course, okay. I'm going under. James Ward-Prowse goals, 5.
Over. He's going to because he's going to have to get forward more. He's going to have to play. He's going to have to, and he's probably, hopefully, going to take some penalties.
Yeah, he's going to be the penalty taker, surely.
Yeah, I'll take over.
I'm going to say over as well.
I am going to agree with you. I'm going to go over.
Okay.
And you know he's going to be on the field for longer stretches than Danny Ings.
Right.
To take those penalties. And, you know, he's still deadly with his free kicks, of course. So, yeah, I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over 5. Redmond goals, 4.
Please be over.
Yeah, you have to say over.
I'm going to go under.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to go under 4. He's not a goal scorer, is he? When has he ever scored?
He used the season before.
Yeah, but he only got 7, didn't he?
No, it's more than that.
No, 7 in the Premier League.
Do you think he's going to get his game time cut a little bit with Gineppo potentially?
No, I don't think so. I think he's going to get a lot more assists this year. And it's just not a goal scorer for me. He's going to create a lot. I think he's going to play exactly as he did this season.
I think I'll say over. Still, I think I already said that, but.
Redmond scored 9 in all competitions, only 6 in the league.
Oh, there you go. See, only 6. I said 7, but so it's not great. So I'm going to go. I'm tempted to say he's going to get 4, but as I say, I can't say that. So I'm going to have to go under.
No, I think I'm over.
You're going to go over. Okay, that's fine. Shea Adams goals 4.
Over.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going over too. No, we wouldn't have said that at the end of last season, would we?
No. Not until that restart.
Yeah. Redmond assists. I'm going to give you 5.
5
assists.
Can we get a statistic for last season? How many did you get last season?
5.
Okay.
I think he got 5. I don't know.
Over?
Okay. I'll go over 2, Kev.
Redmond had 4 in the league, it says, last year.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I'm going to say over. We're going to... Over. My predictions are absolutely ridiculous. Like, nobody's going to take me seriously, but I'm saying over.
If you add up all of our predictions, they'd probably make no sense whatsoever.
Right. I know. Okay, Buffao. Okay, starts 8.
Under.
Yeah, probably under as well.
This is just Premier League, I'm going to say. So, because you potentially could start more cup games if we have a bit more of a run.
Gineppo is sort of preferred, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go under as well.
I think it'll take an injury or a serious drop in form in Armstrong or Redmond for Buffao to get a significant starting role.
Right, but do you see him on the bench a lot? Do you see him coming on?
I can see him coming on late, but he doesn't. Like we said, he doesn't seem to be the first choice off the bench oftentimes, and I'm not sure he really did enough in those appearances to really warrant a starting spot. So he may, like you said, show up in the cup game, which I'd be happy with, but he's not going to be happy fulfilling that role the rest of his career. So unless he does something, which he does seem to at least get along with Ralph, which is good because you know, we saw him kind of go out on loan before you know, I kind of thought he was done at that point, but I'm happy to see him come back. But
he seems to have the right attitude, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Which is not something we would have said when he first came. He didn't seem like that kind of player, and I think that sounds terrible coming out of my mouth. But you know, I'm happy to have him there, and I hope he does kick on. And if he does come off the bench and do well, then maybe he does start. But I think Redmond's got that side kind of locked down, and Armstrong on the other as well. Those two led the team in assists. Not that they were a lot, like 4 and 3, and then Jack Stevens and Ward-Prowse were tied with Armstrong with 3, but which is just absolutely ridiculous. But you know, those are the stats. We can't really argue with them.
That's awful. That's going to impact my predictions for the rest of the season for sure. Right now, we're going to go into the real predictions, then, Matt. These are the ones that I am going to keep a note of, just so I can remind you of it.
Okay.
In the season. So where are Saints finishing this season?
9th.
Ooh.
Got to get inside the top 10.
Wasn't expecting that.
Where did you think I was going to go?
Bottom half, for sure.
No, I think slight improvement, right? Like slight improvement. And then, but I also have a hard time like thinking how much better than that can we do, right? Like you start looking at the teams who are spending big money and you look at the top of the table and it's getting kind of crowded. And I just wonder what's going to happen. But I think teams like Sheffield United might stumble a little bit, might drop a little bit. They were not playing well towards the end of last season. I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at, I think.
Yeah, everyone's got a shout for that top half, though. Everyone feels that they are progressing, surely. Yeah. You know, Everton are going to feel like they're so much better than us.
Yeah, I guess ask me again in December. We'll see. Hopefully we're in better spot than last year.
Okay, I'll put it down 9th. That's good. I'll take that. I'll definitely take that. Kevin, here we go then. This is counting for our contest. Where are Saints finishing?
Put me down for a 9th as well, because that's what I've got written down here.
Oh, fucking hell. Now I feel really bad.
Why?
Because I'm going 15th.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm not buying into the hype. I'm not. Mm. I mean, I know I shouldn't be saying this, but I listen to some Saints fans on Twitter, and I just think, pull your fucking head out your ass. We're not going to be challenging for Europa. It's not going to happen. I don't think we're going to do it.
But that happens every season.
I know, but I don't know where they're getting the... I honestly don't know where the confidence comes from. I don't get it. Honestly, I just feel like the midfield's going to hinder us. The games are going to pile up as well, which you say, if we do have a cup run. I just think it's going to be much like last season. Look how excited I was for last season, and we went and lost 3-0 to Burnley on opening game. Right back down. That's exactly what was going to happen. I'm not saying we're going to go and lose 3-0 to Palace, but I just don't see us being any better. It's always going to be bad start. We should have got more out of this. If only we'd have got that. And then it's second half of the season, they start playing like they should be playing. If they were playing to their full potential like they were towards the end of our season, then yes, I'd take 8th, 9th. I just don't think it's going to happen. I'm going to go 15th.
I would say that the only reason that I feel that, I guess that I feel like we have a chance to go top half of the table is, and I'm not, I don't think we're necessarily going to challenge for Europa League places. I just do want to throw that out there. But
yeah, I wasn't implying you, by the way.
No, I know that. But I think this is the first time we've gone into a season having, you know, with a manager that I think we're all confident in, with the system that is in place, with the, you know, we've improved the defense, you know, at least a little bit and solidified it. And I think even when we went in with Hughes having carried over after the, you know, the Swansea game, essentially getting him that extension. I don't think very many fans were totally happy about it. And I don't think the players were on board. And I don't think there was a clear picture and idea of everybody kind of going in the same direction. And I just think the club this season has that going for it. If anything makes me feel good, it's that everybody seems to be on the same page, except for LG Sports, which are now out of the picture. But going forward, like we all seem to be doing that. So I think that's where my confidence comes from. Not necessarily that we've made all the right moves in terms of improving the midfield and things like that. But I just think we're all, the game plan's not changing. The system isn't changing. And so I think that will allow the guys to kick on faster than in previous seasons. And my fingers crossed, knock on wood, all that stuff. Like that's why I feel the way I do.
Oh, Matt, I hope you're right. I really do. It sounds good when you say it.
I mean, otherwise 7 a.m. drinking is like not something I really want to like tell the kids to do, but like that's what I'll be doing.
But you might have to do that, start doing that just to get through the matches, you know?
Yeah. Hard for world days.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, this one's probably... Yeah, this is an easy one. I'm not sure anyone's going to go anywhere anything different, but top scorer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's as easy as you're saying. I think it's going to be a lot tighter. I don't think that Ings is going to score as high a proportion of our goals.
Right, so I'll put you down for Vestergaard then, Kev.
Vestergaard? stick me in for Fraser Forster. no, I still think it's going to be Ings as our top scorer, but I think, Adams, I reckon he'll have a good season. Hopefully, just as I predicted, Redmond's going to score a few as well. More goals from midfield. I'd like to see that. But
I think it's going to have to be Ings, yeah. That's the safe bet. Not that it'll come true, but I think if it's not, we may be in trouble because I don't know
where the goal's coming from, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got Ings. I'm not going with anybody else. It's no-brainer for me. Champions. No, I'm going to go City again. I may have had the discussion with you, Kev, that since the restart, Liverpool haven't been great, have they? They weren't. I know they didn't have to do much. The league was already, you know, pretty much sewn up. But I don't know. They didn't look great against Arsenal in the Community Shield. Not like they should have been. I know it's only, it's a pre-season, really. But I just don't think Liverpool are going to be able to do what they did for the last two seasons. So I'm gonna go Man City.
Okay. I mean, I'd agree with you that Liverpool aren't gonna do what they've done for the last two seasons. You know, they're gonna be getting sort of 90 plus points. But just to make it interesting, because it is just between those two, I'm gonna go Liverpool.
Okay. Incidentally, if you had gone first, would you have still gone Liverpool?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Matt, who's gonna win the league?
I don't want to say Liverpool, so City.
Yeah. All right.
Nice. Right, okay, so top four.
So I'll go City, Liverpool. I think that's definitely there. Chelsea. And...
West Ham?
Yeah, Kev had West Ham in the top five last year, I think, or something stupid like that. They could have gone down in the like 2 weeks before the end of the season.
You know, I think Arsenal miss out again. I think it's probably going to be United, which I hate to say that, but...
Matt, me and you have gone exactly the same four.
Okay. All right.
City, Liverpool, well. Chelsea, United. You haven't. You said Liverpool were going to win the league.
Oh, you said City, Chelsea, United, and Arsenal.
No, me and Matt are going City, Liverpool, Chelsea, United. In that order.
Okay. I've gone Liverpool, City, Chelsea, United. So.
Oh, okay. So just the top one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Top two. Okay.
Yeah. Don't see Leicester squeezing in there this time.
No. All right, Champions League. I'm going to go Paris Saint-Germain.
I wanted to say Paris Saint-Germain again.
Well, you know you still can, don't you?
I still can. Of course I can, yeah. Oh, I don't know what to say now. Can Bayern Munich do it again?
They can. Can
Kuban reinvent Barcelona?
I was thinking about it. I had this is the last one that I put, because I thought this is going to depend where Messi ends up, right? This is going to be massive. Because he's going to change the system for everyone apart from Barcelona. So I was like, if Messi goes to City, City are going to win the Champions League. But now it's clear he's staying at Barcelona. He has to stay at Barcelona. Nothing changes there for me. And Paris Saint-Germain, I think they probably have got the better side, including Bayern Munich. I think they're better managed, that's all.
I don't want to see PSG do it. I'm not going to say they're definitely not going to win it because that means they'll do it. so I also don't think City are going to do it. I don't know. I was going to say it's definitely not going to be Barcelona. They're a disaster, but we know how that goes. So I'm going to say this is the least confident I've been in any of these, which is ridiculous, but I'm going to say City because I think Pep's got to do it, right? Like that's why he's there.
This is what we've been saying for years now. It's just like
they still have holes. I mean, yeah, I don't know how you spend all that money and still have holes in the team like that, but they do. And so we'll see. But I'm gonna say City.
It's got to be in it soon. It's got to.
Right, sod it. Bayern are defending their title. That's what I've decided.
Oh, okay. Who gets relegated from the Premier League?
Charlie Austin.
Just the rest of West Brom can stay up.
Just put the boiler on up front. It'll be about the same amount of movement.
Okay, Kev, I've got bottom of the league, I've got West Brom.
Okay.
19th, I've got, just for them. And 18th, I've got Brighton. I don't like Brighton. I mean, would anybody really miss them?
Not really, no. It's nice ground. It's a good away day.
Well, that means they're going to stay up.
Well, no, but if you're clutching at straws. But yeah, I mean, they're not an exciting team to watch, really, are they? They haven't got any sort of outstanding players that you think, like, that's going to keep them in the league.
Yeah, I just don't feel them at all.
Yeah. I've got very similar. I mean, I've got Fulham bottom, West Brom 19th, and I can't decide between Villa and Brighton.
Oh, you got Brighton as well? Okay.
But can I give a little caveat? If Grealish stays, I'll go Brighton. If he goes, Villa are down. Can you handle that?
No.
Or is that not allowed?
No, I don't think that's allowed. I don't think that should be allowed. It's an interesting one, though. I do see where you're coming from. Because Grealish could single-handedly keep that side out.
Pretty much. The whole team is sort of built around him, and if he goes, then, yeah, I don't think they've got a very good chance of staying up.
A bit like if Ings left Saints, that would be we'd be having a different conversation now. But, yeah,
All right, then Villa, just to be different.
West Brom. That's seriously this time. I think Fulham. I don't want to. Sorry, Harrison Reed. That's all I'll say. But I think Fulham are also going to go. And then I'm also stuck. I'm not sure if Villa's going to be there, if Brighton's going to be there. For some reason, I don't particularly want Newcastle to do well. I don't know what they've done in the transfer window. Like I said, it's probably not great, like, podcast hosting to, like, not pay attention to the transfer window at all. I'll recognize who's out there. I'll realize who's out there when they announce the team sheets when the season starts. but it's probably not going to be them, even though I wouldn't mind seeing them. It's probably going to be Villa. And I mean, they barely stayed up last year. I even think if Grealish stays, I'm not sure he can do it alone this time. You can get lucky a couple of times, but we've seen what happens when I'm gonna say Villa. Just I'm saying it because Brighton. I hear Brighton's nice, and like, let them stay. As long as they don't have a green kit, I'll be fine.
Just can't wait to get on the road again.
The long and winding road.
Selhurst Park.
Hey Matt, thanks for joining us today. Firstly, can you give us a short introduction to Palace's pre-season, how the preparations are going and any significant signings that you've made?
Hi guys, thanks for having me on. So a bit about our pre-season so far. 3-3 currently, wins against Oxford, Charlton and Millwall. Obviously not the highest calibre of opposition, especially when it comes to Charlton and Millwall. Games you'd expect us to win, really. Haven't been playing too badly. 2 against Oxford, 3 against Charlton, and just the one goal against Millwall. But no complaints, really. Obviously, pre-season is for the manager to kind of work out best 11 before the season starts and get some new ideas in there. We've got a game against Bromby coming up this Saturday, which should be more of a challenge. So it'll be good to see how we do against them. In terms of signings, there's been a real shift in terms of kind of transfer strategy for Palace this summer. A very welcomed one at that, from all in the fan base. We've started directing our interest to more younger players from the Championship and possibly even below, rather than focusing on Premier League experience, which in the past has resulted in us having the oldest on average squad in the Premier League, I believe. We've got a lot of players in the final years of contract now. So to be shifting towards future is very welcome from me and all Palace fans. recent signings include Nathan Ferguson from West Brom, one that I think is we've been looking at for a while. He's a fullback, probably looking to challenge Joel Ward for the right back position. But from what I understand, he's not fully fit for the season yet. So it might be a month or so until we can see him in action. More recently, Eze from QPR, a very welcome addition. Someone apparently we've been looking at for a while. Flair player up there with goals and assists. One of the best players in the Championship last season. Definitely the sort of player we want to be targeting. The sort of player Palace fans want to see. Linked up very well in the first 45 minutes against Charlton with Zaha. A relationship that obviously we're not sure how long will last or how much we'll see of in the future, with Zaha being constantly linked with moves away, but very exciting. Unfortunately, I think he picked up a bit of a knock or a groin strain possibly at half time against Charlton, so he's recently pulled out of the England under-21 setup. So whether he'll be fit enough to feature against Southampton, yet to be seen.
So we took 4 points from you last season, the 1-1 draw around Christmas time, and back in January a 2-0 win for Saints at Selhurst Park. But how do you see this game going?
We struggle to score, and we're yet to kind of look at getting a goal scorer in. Always the hardest position to fill, and as it's been widely kind of publicised since Benteke's first season, where he managed 17 goals, he's yet to replicate anything near that kind of form. Jordan Ayew picks up with vital goals here and there, enough to keep us up last season. Some very vital goals, but yeah, we need someone with consistent 15-20 goals a season. So I think we're going to be struggle to score against you guys, whereas I think Southampton are quite free scoring. So I'm struggling to see us getting anything from the game, to be fair.
Can we get a predicted Crystal Palace starting 11?
Vicente Guaita in goal, Joel Ward at right back, centre halves of Scott Dan and Cheku Koyate, and the young lad from Mar Academy, Tyrick Mitchell, at left back. Midfield four of James McArthur, Max Meyer, Jairo Riedewald and Jordan Ayew operating out wide, and I expect to see Zaha and Jeff Schlupp up front.
Score prediction then, how are you seeing this one?
As I've mentioned, you've got kind of creativity and goal scoring, Ward-Prowse, Danny Ings, etc. Whilst we've been struggling to score in the league for a while now. So I'm going to go with a 3-1 Saints win.
So if you could pick just one Saints player to have in your current Palace setup, who are you taking and why?
It'd be the obvious answer of Danny Ings. As mentioned, we lack that real goal scoring centre forward, and he would be ideal for almost any Premier League club. So yeah, it's the sort of player I'd love to have for Palace.
Now, the Moscow Mush loves a fan chant, and he's always eager to hear away fans and what their favourite chants to sing at their grounds are. But what's your favourite chant that you like to hear at Selhurst Park?
We're lucky to have the ultras at Palace, the Homestyle Fanatics, who are very creative, coming up with original chants. We're not normally ones for insert player name here to this popular tune, as seems to be done around the country. We've got a great song called When I Was a Young Boy, which I'm not going to sing, but I'm sure you can find on YouTube. I think it's one that's unique to Palace, one that really gets the crowd going. So yeah, I'll go for that.
Now, every away fan that we get on, we ask them a silly question. We've decided to change it up this season, and you're the first one to trial this. So, a bit of a cheeky one, but would you rather have a Crystal Palace tattoo on your forehead or a Brighton and Hove Albion tattoo on your ass?
It's a very tough question. A Palace one may be easily hidden under the fringe, but whilst it'd be horrible to have anything Brighton-related on my body, it would have to be the Brighton tattoo on my arse, as long as we can keep it as small as possible.
Matt, thanks very much for joining us today and answering all our questions. Good luck for the rest of the season, just not in this game. Right, Selhurst Park. Attendance, Kev. Go on, have a guess, have a stab. What's the attendance at Selhurst Park?
Well, it's probably going to be about 30 at the weekend, isn't it?
I meant what it holds, not
when. Oh, right, okay. Say the fans out loud, didn't you? It's a bit smaller, isn't it, than ours? 26?
Yeah, 25.4.
Okay.
Close.
That's good.
Okay, so I have three famous Crystal Palace fans in front of me. I mean, on screen, obviously, not in person. can you name me one of them? And it has to be one of these. Matt, you can join in as well, if you like. Famous Crystal Palace fans.
Well, Ed Izzard was on the board of directors. Right? I don't know if he's still there. Is he one of them?
But you'd assume he'd be a Crystal Palace fan, right?
I could not be. No, I'm pretty sure he is.
Yes, Eddie Izzard is one of my three.
Okay.
Well done. The other two, I got Neil Morrissey and I got Nigel Farage, because I know that would have pleased you. Yeah. Well, actually, do you know what? When I was getting ready for that, I discovered, right, that Pope John Paul II was, in fact, a Palace fan. I thought, that can't be right. That's not right. I don't know. I just can't imagine seeing him strutting through the streets of Croydon with his robes, blessing the locals. I don't know. But yeah.
See, the only one I had was Rebecca Lowe, and she didn't make your list.
No, she did not.
Who's that?
She is the host. She's the anchor of the RTV coverage of the Premier League here in the United States on NBC. And she's fantastic. She's great. I love her.
Didn't she work? She worked for Satanta, I think, when that channel launched, Kev.
The Irish one or the British one?
No, the British one. She worked for the BBC as well, I think, at one point. And then she went to Satanta. That went. And then I think she went to, I don't know, ESPN or something, wasn't it? And then... What does she do now, Matt? NBC, did you say?
Yeah, she's the anchor for NBC, so she's got all the Premier League coverage on NBC. So every Saturday and Sunday, most midweeks, all of it, she's there doing it all live all day, and she does a great job of just keeping us all, like, tying it all together and keeping the she's got a number of other kind of males that are around the table, and she does a good job of keeping them on track and kind of really, she knows her stuff, and I like her a lot.
Back to Pope John Paul II, Mike. Maybe he's a Palace fan just because they play in the same colours as Wisła Krakow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe.
That could make sense, but that's a weird one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not right, surely. Okay, right. I'm going to do the same thing for played for both. So I got three Saints Palace former or current.
We just have to name one?
Yeah, just... Oh, no, you can name all three. Go for it.
It's about all three. Jason Puncheon, he went to Palace, didn't he?
Yes, he's one of mine.
Okay. And, Maka, he played for Palace.
Yep.
Right.
That's right. He's current, so yeah, he's there. Well done, Kev.
My knowledge pretty much ends there, I think.
I had Puncheon, and that's it. That's all I had.
Puncheon and Maka. What about Jose Font?
Oh, that's right.
That was my three. But yeah, you got two of the three. So,
Okay. Two out of three ain't bad.
Mm. People are gonna be mad we didn't know that one, because that's kind of a big one.
Yeah. Hold on. I've just got your message. No fucking way. You're kidding me. Have you seen the draw?
Please
you're fucking kidding me. That's amazing. There you go. What? That is weird. That's really... Although I did say the FA Cup, but that's pretty spooky, right? Out of all the... What are the odds? That's weird. That freaks me out. I have to... Well, at least we know we're going to win, right?
So, Ray, what was the score again?
I can't remember that. I just remember jumping up and down celebrating because we've actually got to the fourth round. That's amazing. Matt, this is probably the hardest season to predict because, like, the lack of pre-season and stuff, like, there's not a lot to go on. You know, we're beginning again. There's no form guide, I guess. So how do we go about preparing for Palace? Because, you know, they've not made a big splash in the transfer market either. I got that Eze from QPR for about 16 million quid, and that's about it. But we'll be chatting to our Crystal Palace fan in a bit in regards to, you know, their preparations, etc. But I guess the only thing we can go on is their form from last season. And they finished 14th. And in both meetings last year, it was a 1-1 draw, which me and you went to, Kev.
Yeah.
Around Christmas, and a 2-0 win at Selhurst Park. I mean, it's clear to say that they have problem scoring goals. They haven't got a natural goal scorer, but they can be quite tricky to break down at times. But yeah, Matt, how do you see this one playing out?
Well, I mean, their kind of return to the Premier League play after the coronavirus restart was kind of the opposite of ours. They seem to struggle quite a bit, and I want to say, you know, Wilfred Zaha didn't have a great year. And maybe you would expect him to do better this season, but I think they are...
He could still be leaving. He wants to go. I think he made that clear last season, didn't he?
Yeah, but he left before, and he didn't do anything then. There was some Crystal Palace fan yesterday on there about James Ward-Prowse scuffing the penalty spots, the best thing he's done all season or whatever, the only thing he did all game. It's like, dude, that guy's just bitter. I don't know. Palace doesn't fill me with a bunch of confidence in terms of I think they can frustrate teams, like you said, and I think sometimes they can be surprising. But you just look at that team and it doesn't really, I don't know, it doesn't scare me that much. Which replay this next Sunday and you will hate me. But I think you do the things you lock down against Zaha. You make sure that you have a little bit of coverage over there to double them up, and then you kind of just press the midfield, and I think you force them to go along and just make sure you win those headers, and I think we'll be fine. That's easier said than done, and I'm sure that will come back to bite me. But if you look at their run-in last season, it was just loss. It seemed like I think they got a draw to end the season, but they kind of limped across the finish line, whereas we finished strongly. And with only such a short break in between now and then, or then and now, I guess, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, and Kev, I mean, if you look at the last eight visits I'm looking at here to Selhurst Park, it's win, 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 loss, loss, win, win, win. You know, more than handy, six wins and two losses, you know, and it's not a fixture that we tend to draw. So you, on top of what Matt just said, Kev, how confident are you feeling?
I don't know. I think it's a fixture that we clearly should win, that we have won in the past. They're not a difficult team to beat. Like Matt said, they do seem to frustrate teams. I think when we played them at home, we were just tired, weren't we? We should have really had them finished off. But I don't know. There's something about the first match being against them away. If it had been the second or third one, maybe have been a lot more confident, but I don't know, there's something about it that says to me we're not going to get a win.
Really?
Mm.
Well, okay then, we'll go into predictions now. What's the score going to be?
2-1 Saints.
Okay, I'll take that too.
Ever since I saw that mock-up of our Instagram post, I'm just attached to the scoreline.
One-one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to say 1-1. I mean, Christ knows who's going to score their goal. It could be an own goal for them, like, yeah. But, yeah. Not saying we can't do it, but there's just something in the air, I think, is going to get in the way. We never win our opening fixture, do we?
It's true.
Never.
It's very true. Ever.
It's not
Burnley this year, at least.
No.
The last one I remember us winning the first day of the season, I was with my brother, who couldn't care less about football, and we watched it in the pub. And I think Ricky Lambert scored a penalty and we won 1-0 against West Brom, if my memory serves me correctly. It wasn't an exciting affair.
No, and the players are still getting back to fitness as well, aren't they? Getting back to proper match day fitness. Yesterday would have helped to the internationals and stuff, but I think looking at what they, you know, as Matt said, how they ended out last season and their lack of business. I say lack of business, £16 million, quite a lot of money to spend on a single player for Crystal Palace. But looking at our record at Selhurst Park as well, I'm going to go a nice, comfortable 1-0 Saints win. How's that?
Okay. How is that comfortable?
I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not the result as much as comfortable, but the way that we play, I think, is going to be comfortable.
Okay, so is this sort of a question of, you know, when we score?
They're not going to be causing us any problems. As Matt had said, there's nothing really to be scared of, apart from Zaha. Because as I said in the build-up, there's not a natural goal scorer for them. But of course, that means that Benteke is going to come on and score an overhead kick or something, doesn't it?
Well, Christian Benteke, Jesus. we've got a new kit this season. I mean, as long as the shorts have pockets, I think Zaha wouldn't be a problem with Prowse on the pitch.
Matt, I think that's about it.
This has been a pleasure, guys. I hope I've contributed adequately.
Yes, definitely. Especially with that sure. message you sent me about Brentford. That's made my day. That's brilliant.
we'll see how it all goes. I mean, I was secretly hoping they were going to come up. And I'm not sure it needs to be a secret, but I was kind of hoping just they would do it. But, you know, oh well. And it'll be interesting. And I can't read the room on Twitter very well to see if people are happy or not. But people seem to think it'll be tough, but also they're upset we won't be able to see it, you know, to be there. But we'll, you know, whatever. But I just want to say I wish you guys the best over the course of the season. We'll have to get you to come over on the show at some point and just chat about a game and see how things are going and check in and see how poorly my predictions are shaping up.
That would be great.
Love to have you on, yeah.
Oh, so, actually, you know what? Before we let you go, you know, we always have a question that we ask our guests.
Oh, okay.
And say we've our haunted house and Messy Crouch question have now been replaced. We have one new question and we could try it out on you.
Okay, so would you rather have a Saints tattoo on your head or a Pompey tattoo on your ass?
What part of my head?
Forehead. It's got to be right
just
in the middle.
Just the forehead. Most visible part. Yeah.
Well, I shave my head, so like I could go back of the head. Like either way, this is not like this is I've told my kids you can get a tattoo anywhere you want, just not your neck or your face. Like don't be an idiot. But I can't get a forehead tattoo, so it's got to be a Saints tattoo on my head without really much question. Am I going to regret it? Only if they misspell Saints. You know, only when they change the crest, yeah. But, like, I'll be fine until then.
Do you know, I asked my 10-year-old son this question, right? And I'm not joking. This is exactly what he said. Without even thinking, he said he'll have the Pompey one because it proves that they're total asses.
Oh, hey.
I was like, nice one, mate.
Yeah. You just fist pound and move on with your life because that's the answer, I guess.
I had to go for the Pompey one, I'm afraid. Because no one's going to see that, right?
Oh, you're hoping somebody's going to see it at some point, right?
I mean, I'm 35, but I still tend to moon people quite often. So
certainly would not be doing it then. Kev, what about you? What would you do?
I think I'd have to bite the bullet and go for the Pompey tattoo on the batty.
Okay.
I love my club, but. You know, not that much. I don't have any tattoos and I don't have any plans for any tattoos. But yeah, definitely not on the face.
Not on the forehead, no. And, okay.
Yeah, in Polish, you can say, mam cię w dupie. Like, yeah, I have you in my ass.
that's something complete. That sounds completely different, well.
So that's been pretty much like what your son said. to the ass.
Right, yeah, Matt. Thanks again. Thanks for joining us, and again, getting up so early for us. I mean, it's just me and Kevin. It's just not worth it.
My pleasure. No, it's totally worth it. This is why we do it. This is the whole thing is that we can get together and chat. And you know, I only know you two because of the team and because of the shows. And this is the whole reason behind it. So if I don't get up early for this, I shouldn't get up early for. I wouldn't say anything because sometimes there are things worth getting out for, but this is definitely one of them. So thanks for having me, and I hope you guys have a great week and good luck this season. And we'll you get too. You on the other side and do the reverse fixture, I guess.
Excellent.
Yeah, way in. Yeah. It's been an absolute pleasure, Matt, as always. Good luck for the rest of the season, and keep marching on.
Yeah, hopefully I don't waste all the good takes for you guys. When I talk to Lizzie on my show, I'll just be completely drained. Anyway, all right, yes. I'll get off of you. I'll get out of your hair. I'll talk to you guys later.
Cool. Cheers, Matt.
All right. Cheers, mate.
Hi, I'm Matt Letitia, and thank you for listening to In That Number.
Okay, extra time segment then, Kevin. Next week, by the way, we're going to be joined by new signing of ours, Tim Bysants. Tim is going to be joining us on a regular basis from next week. That should be good. I'm looking forward to that.
Okay.
Yes, and our Discord. We've recently started this Discord channel. It's a chat room. If you don't know, all the listeners of the show, all two of them, are on there. If you fancy joining, give us a message or something and say you fancy coming on, and you know. Yeah, come and chat to us. It doesn't have to be about football. It can be about anything you want. But, yeah, just come and join.
There's more than two of us there. I think we're having quite a good time in there, actually. It's some quite enjoyable discussions, just general talking shit and, updates about different Saints-related topics. And exactly. Some American sports that I don't understand.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. But come and join anyway. And Super 6 is now fully operational. If you would like to join our league, the 2020-2021 in that number, Super 6 League, the code is WZMNX8. That's WZMNX8. And fantasy football. Kev, that's all set and ready to go, isn't it?
Yes. We'll obviously stick a link up in the show notes so that you can join on in. But yeah, our league is rather large already, if I do say so myself.
That's what she said.
That's what your mum said.
It's also on our Instagram as well. So if you need the codes for them at any point, go onto our Instagram. You've got the fantasy football one and the Super 6 one on there.
Yes.
But yeah, the code is for the fantasy football is HXELBX. HXELBX. So yeah, please join and come and beat me.
So I want to start this season by setting a precedent. And a precedent?
A precedent.
Setting a precedent. Setting a precedent.
Can I be the president?
You can be the president and I'll set the precedent. Yeah, I want us to commit to more chants this season. So I'm going to challenge you, give you a little bit of a head start. We've only got one new signing, really, and that's Mohamed Salisu. So, of course, he's going to need a new chant. So, yeah, why don't we do that next week?
Okay.
Yeah, Mohamed Salisu. Can you handle it?
I think so. I hope so. Yeah, I'll give it a go.
Okay.
Kevin, Russian phrase this week. Do you have one?
Yes, so we decided to go with the open season theme, right?
Mm.
Okay, so just for laugh, that particular... have you seen it, by the way?
Possibly. Long time ago. I can't remember. If I did, it didn't leave a massive impact.
It's all right. The in-laws love it, though. So I definitely have watched it in Russian, and in Russian it's called Hunt Season. Yeah, Sezon Ochot.
Sezon Ochot. Did you say hunt?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It is hunt season. Hunt.
So yeah, hunt is ochota.
Ochota.
Yeah, so sezon ochote is the
Sezon ochote.
Sezon ochote, yeah.
Sezon
the season of the hunt. So there you are. And we're in the hunt for some points, right?
Yeah. We are indeed. Crystal Palace next week.
Palace, yeah.
Yes, and then we've got fucking Brentford. I can't believe the premonition came true. That is weird, isn't it? That's really fucking weird. That's freaked me out.
You could have a career there. So if you combine that with, you know, sports betting predictions.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Oh, I could be like that, you know, that octopus in the World Cup. Was it the octopus?
Yeah, Paul the Octopus.
That's the one, yeah. Yes. Okay, right. Anyway, thanks to Matt Markstone for his early shift with us, and of course our away fan Matt Swallow for giving us all the information on Crystal Palace, and yeah, so we look forward to next week to actually reviewing some actual football, and as I say, we've got Tim coming on to join us, so yeah, look forward to that one. So until then, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Bang, and the pod is done.